Welcome to Voices from the Street, the radio ministry of the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission. You'll hear of the joys and the sorrows of those who come to the mission for help and hope and how their lives are changed for good. Here's your host, Director of the Union Gospel Mission, Pastor Robert Briggs.
It's great to be with you again this afternoon as we enjoy another episode here of Voices from the Streets, the ministry, the radio ministry of the Union Gospel Mission of Sacramento. One of the encouraging things that has happened over the last number of months since I took over at the mission is that we've been increasing our staff, and right now it's probably a historical time at the mission where we have more females serving the Lord at the mission than we've ever had before. And I'm delighted this afternoon to be doing something a little bit different. We're going to have two of our staff members in the studio at the same time. I'm not sure if it's the wisest thing I've ever done, but we're going to find out. Angie and Rebecca, you're very welcome to our broadcast.
Thank you.
Hello.
And they're very nervous, so we're going to have to loosen them up a little bit and help them to just relax and enjoy our conversation. What I'm going to do, girls, this afternoon is I'm just going to have you tell us a little bit about who you are, first of all, and then a little bit about your Christian background, which is really important, of course, as we serve the Lord together at the Union Gospel Mission. And then, depending on how far we get with that, we'll maybe do another one, another broadcast to discuss more of the life at the mission itself. So I want our listeners to get a chance to get to know our staff at a personal level, at a spiritual level. So let's begin with you, Angie. You, like me, are not an American.
I am not an American, no.
So tell us a little bit about where you're from and something of your early years.
So I was born in Ukraine, and I came here when I was two, so I only spent a little bit of time in Ukraine. But I came here when I was two, and we moved straight to California, so I've been a California girl for a while now. of course, I had to do all the ESL classes, had to learn my English, but I think I'm doing pretty good so far.
Yep, some would say your English might even be better than my English.
Oh, that's a compliment.
Yeah, there you are.
Who are these some?
I don't know. Wonderful, wonderful. So you're like Masha, executive assistant, right? You're both from Ukraine.
Yes.
You've gone, you know, she was a little bit older than you when she came here, but you've gone through similar experiences.
Yeah.
And Sacramento has a significant Slavic community. So you came here with your family, siblings, parents?
Yes, we came here with my family. I think most of my aunts and uncles moved over at the same time. And when I came here, I had one brother, and then I had a sister who was born here.
Okay.
So we all kind of lived in the same apartment complex. So that's really sweet because Slavics are very family-centered. So we all just kind of stayed together in the same apartment complex and grew up together.
Wonderful, wonderful. Excellent. Well, Rebecca, you, however, are an American.
Very American, yes.
Very American. So tell us a little bit about your early years and your upbringing.
Yeah, well, I was born in Sacramento, born and raised. My three brothers and I grew up being homeschooled, so very close-knit little family. Grew up in the church,
What part of Sacramento did you grow up in?
So I lived a little more towards South Sac, Oak Park area, so a little bit of the rougher side. Grew up there, got used to just that kind of environment, which I appreciate. I think it helped me be more grateful.
Okay, wonderful. So you're a Sacramentan, you're Ukrainian, Angie, and both of you, of course, have got Christian backgrounds. I know that. Let's chat a little bit about that in terms of just, you know, your upbringing in homes where the gospel was believed, the gospel was taught to you from your childhood. Tell us a little bit about your early church experience growing up in Sacramento. And when you came here, was it a church that spoke Ukrainian, preached in Ukrainian when you first came?
Yeah, so there was a church that, there's a lot of Slavic churches. There's one big one that kind of started in the beginning. It was the one that kind of all the other ones sprouted from. It was called First Slavic Baptist Church. And that's the church that my family immediately went to. And it was a really good church. And from there, it went Second Slavic and then Third Slavic. So a lot of churches sprouted from that one. And it was a great church. It was a lot of people were coming over. They were immigrants. And so it was very just bustling. There was a lot of serving. And so my early years were very focused on serving at the church. So I did a lot. I was there basically every single day of the week almost.
Okay.
But they were very, very heavily focused on that, which was okay because I think it really bonds the church together until you get a little bit burned out. But it's okay, that happens. So it was a church, as time went on, just everybody knows everybody. Everybody knows where you came from. They just know each other. And it's kind of one of those places where it just feels like family. So it was actually very hard to leave. So
First Slavic, if I'm right, is in what, 66th Street or Avenue, just off of Florin?
Yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. I know where that is, yeah. In that part of the city. And I've been in Third Slavic.
Yeah.
Where is Second Slavic?
Second Slavic is off of Watt Avenue.
Oh, okay, so it's up on that side of the city. Okay. I know certainly the historical elements of the Slavic community coming in different waves at different times historically.
Yeah.
For quite a number of years, I think even since the Russian Revolution way back, I was told that a number of the Mensheviks, I think they were known as back then, came and landed in Bright, which is actually in West Sac, and a very strong Slavic part of our city. And Sacramento certainly is a hub for the Slavic community, for sure. So, Rebecca, you however, obviously didn't go to a Slavic church. You went to just an American church. What was your early recollections of church life like?
Yeah, my family and I went to a small community church in our area. It was just down the street. We would walk to church. And that was my childhood up until I was around 11, 12. But honestly, because of how that church was ran, I don't consider that we were necessarily hugely involved in the church body, especially on Sundays, because no one else was really involved in that way. My parents served in Sunday school each Sunday, did not attend corporate worship much that I recall, and my siblings and I would help them in that once we got a little older, once we were past that age group. We would help play instruments or sing and just help out. And then that went on until I was, like I said, 11 or 12. And that's when there was a bit of a church split in which my parents broke off with some others. And from then until I was 17, we were not a part of a church. We looked around for a little bit. My parents didn't prefer any churches that we visited. And so I was not really a part of church body life or any local church until 17.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that it's interesting, isn't it? I had a similar experience when I was younger. My parents went through a season where their church life was struggling, I think, the way I would put it. And when I look back as a pastor now, of course, I look through a different lens in many ways, knowing that my parents were probably struggling at levels that I had no idea as a child. And church life can be messy. And it can be disappointing and it can be really discouraging. One of the reasons why the Union Gospel Mission is a place of blessing is the fact that we try to bring folks together from various churches and encourage them again and get them rejuvenated in the main things of the faith, which really we all know is the gospel and the truth of the gospel. And certainly when you're growing up as a child, you don't understand what really is all going on. But again, the influences of grace are there. The Lord uses all these realities of life, the good things, the bad things, the ugly things, as we know. So let's move on and think about that in terms of just how the Lord drew you to himself and how you came to confess Christ. Angie, let's start with you. Tell us a little bit about when do you think you were converted? What was the general circumstances of you coming to saving faith in the Lord Jesus?
Yeah. So my church had altar calls. But it was not every Sunday. It was every so often. And I kept hearing, I think I was around 15, I think I was. And for me, like, I kept getting asked, like, my mom would ask me, like, why aren't you, like, repenting? Why aren't you coming up there? And I was like, I don't know. And she's always like, be careful, you know, just be careful, like, make sure you're listening. And so we had a sermon. I don't remember the sermon, but it was a song that actually got me. There's this Russian song and roughly translates to, somebody's knocking at the door. Are you going to open it? basically it's like God knocking at your door. And so in the middle of this song, I didn't have my shoes on or anything. I was just standing in church, and I just had this like overwhelming feeling, and listening to the song, and I start crying, and I walk out in front of the church. I don't remember how I prayed. I don't remember what happened, but I prayed in front of the church because that's how it was done in our church. I just had this feeling like I wanted to give my life to God, and I knew that I wasn't living my life right. And so I went out there, and funnily enough, one of my best friends now, I didn't know her back then, she came up at the same time as me. So we repented on the same day, and we became friends a little bit later. It was a little shout out to my friends.
very good.
Yeah, so I just, and that was the first moment that I actually like prayed a prayer of repentance, basically. It was 2012.
2012.
Yes, it was 2012.
Okay, so 13 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, for me as a pastor, obviously, I mean, we know that one of the things I know from the Slavic community and the Slavic churches is they're big on their, some of them are big on their altar calls, and they're big on their, you've got to repent, and they keep driving that. Mm-hmm. And though I would have reservations about the whole aspect of using, you know, altar calls. Mm-hmm. In fact, I would personally not use an altar call mm-hmm. when preaching.
Yeah.
The Lord in His sovereignty still uses these things because ultimately it's the Word of God and the work of the Spirit that brings us to faith. And you know, although the reality of it is that many don't convert to Christ, and there's a lot of false professions, which is a problem, and that would be one of my arguments mm-hmm. against altar calls, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
I know for many of us who grew up in these contexts, the Lord did in His goodness and in His grace actually do a work, even though we didn't fully understand what was taking place at that particular time. And so we bless God that we were at least in a place where the Word of God was being taught to a degree. Mm-hmm. You were hearing about Christ, you were hearing about sin, you were hearing about the need to repent and believe the gospel, and the Spirit of the Lord brought you to Christ. So were you baptized soon after that, Angie?
I was. I think I got baptized a couple years after.
Okay.
And we do these long classes. I think they're like 6-month classes where we have them with the brothers of our church. And then you get, I don't know how to say it in English, but basically like kind of like a test in front of the brothers of the church. And then you just get baptized. And we had like a baptism tank in the back of the church. Like they would open up the thing and you would just get baptized.
Okay. Yeah. Examination to see if they felt your repentance was authentic.
Because the classes were very long and you're getting so much information.
Right.
And so they kind of, when you go out, you come with your parent. And so you come with your parent in front of all these brothers, and they ask you questions one by one. Hmm. A little bit intimidating for like a teenager to come up in front of all these like main big pastors. But they are very kind, and if you do get something wrong, they make sure to correct you.
Right.
So, yeah.
Sounds a bit like the old early church idea of catechizing and examining by question and answer, which I think we've gotten away from in the church today. And I think that certainly better to be well examined than poorly examined regarding the authenticity of your faith. And tragically, the shallowness of many today and the flippant approach to the ordinances of the church, people get baptized without any examination.
Yeah.
So whilst it may have felt at the time a little bit strong, it hasn't done you any harm.
No,
we bless God for that, Angie, sure. Yeah, good. Rebecca, tell us a little bit about how you came to faith in the Lord.
When I was about, I believe I was 10. Obviously, being raised with parents who were very diligent in reading me the Word, I knew a lot about the Bible. And when I was 10, my mother was doing a Bible study with me, and it was about some part of the Bible where the Israelites were being judged by the Lord and punished for disobedience. And I remember just being overwhelmed with fear. And I told my mom, I started crying, and I told my mom, what if I am going to be judged by the Lord? What if I'm not a Christian? And obviously, I wasn't a Christian, but I think because of my environment and because I was such a quote-unquote good girl, I just kind of adopted this idea of I am what my parents are. I am of the faith, even if I don't know what that means, even though I thought I knew what it means. And so my mother, very well-meaning, she was walking me through those passages, and basically it ended up in me praying a prayer to accept the Lord into my heart. Mm. But I didn't. For the next 6 years, 8 years actually, I believed I was a Christian and lived in a lot of just prideful, disgusting self-righteousness, mm-hmm. and cleaning the outside of the cup. But it was an inward self-righteousness too, in the sense of I didn't even see my own sin. I thought I was good on the inside as well, or at least trying to be. And yet at the same time, for those 8 years, I was tormented by this fear of what if that magical little prayer didn't work? Mm. And I would stay up at night crying myself to sleep, begging the Lord to save me again, to, if it didn't work last time, at least make it work this time. Mm. And I was petrified. And fear was a chief, I mean, I don't think that fear was sinful. I think it was very valid. But fear was a chief sin of mine. Mm. And can be a struggle to this day. But whether it came to social anxiety or just fear of life or fear of anything, I was a slave to fear for most of my life. And that was one of them of, am I saved? And so self-righteousness, just doing everything to be my own perfect God little person. At 18, my brother was getting married to a Pentecostal girl, and none of me nor my siblings had been baptized, even though we all professed faith. And in order to marry her, he had to be baptized. Mm. And so when he had started talking about that, I thought, oh, that is the next order of things. I am supposed to be baptized. I am a Christian. And so we all actually decided to get baptized together in the American River. Very American of us. And so we gathered our friends and family together. Everybody gathered for the party. And I got in the water with my brothers, and I was standing there. And, oh, actually, going back to the night before, it was very important. And it just shows the content of my heart at the time. I was praying and journaling, and I told the Lord, I prayed, I don't understand why you had to be so dramatic, why you had to die for me. I'm not that bad. What did I do to necessitate such a serious sacrifice, such a serious thing? And then I said, show me my sin. I told that to the Lord, and in his grace and his mercy, he did. And I was completely awash with, he just started showing me. He opened my eyes to who I was, and I just started weeping, and I was overcome with the darkness of what I was, and what I am without Christ. And so that was the night before. And so then, standing in the water with my brothers, I don't remember what the pastor was praying, but he started praying before the baptisms were happening. And in that moment, all of a sudden, the gospel just clicked. Mm. I understood at that point that I was a sinner. Mm-hmm. But then I understood Christ as my Savior, and I understood his justice, that he should damn me, that I should be damned, but I also was his love was revealed to me, mm-hmm. how he had died for me, and I was overwhelmed with joy, and I began crying, and just for the first time in my life, I got it. I understood. Mm-hmm. And a couple minutes later, I was baptized, and nobody there knew. I don't even think my parents knew until a few years later when I told them that I wasn't saved. But yeah, the Lord saved me just in time for my baptism to make sure I didn't have to get baptized again.
Yeah. I mean, the great transaction of grace takes place when we don't expect it to happen, mm-hmm. because we're not in control of it. It's the work of the Spirit that's actually moving in our hearts, Rebecca. And it's interesting, you know, as a pastor, as someone who grew up in a Christian home myself, as someone who sought to raise children in the faith, we recognize, you learn that there's great mystery to how the Lord and his sovereignty works, and how the Lord and his sovereignty brings us in different ways. And, you know, you come forward at an altar call, Angie, and then you've got 6 months of examination. And Rebecca's saying she's a Christian, coming to baptism, and gets converted just before it happens. Yeah. And, you know, we're reminded, aren't we, that the mystery of grace really truly is a remarkable thing. And we're closed up to the Lord. We have the scriptures there to guide us, but God is still outside of his word, as well as revealing himself in his word, and the Spirit of God works in ways that we don't anticipate. So that's quite a remarkable part of your testimony, Rebecca, in regards to your baptism. I'm glad you got converted before it, otherwise we'd have to be baptizing you again as a Christian, isn't that right?
Yeah, my pastor would be dunking me.
It would definitely, knowing Tony as he is. And so that's a good segue, as we're moving towards the end of this particular episode of our broadcast. Let's do that. Let's just move it forward slightly to how you ended up then coming into the churches that you're in today. Of course, I know your story, I know your pastors, I know where you're at. Angie, just in maybe 20 seconds, 30 seconds, tell us, we'll pick this up again next week, where you go to church, how you ended up there.
Yeah, I go to City Bible Church. I've been going there for about 4 years, been a member for 3. I ended up leaving my old church due to theological reasons. I didn't agree with the theology that was being preached there. And so I went on a journey to find a new church. And I did a little bit of hopping around, and I made sure to get each church I checked out, give them a couple of months, you know. I honestly didn't want to go to CBC because everybody was going to CBC. But when I came there to check it out, the one thing I saw and I really liked was that I was being convicted at every single sermon. And every single sermon made me think about my life and made me think about God. And I really liked that because I didn't experience that anywhere else that I went. And so my little stubborn heart decided, okay, don't be so stubborn, and give it a chance. And so I ended up giving it a chance, and I ended up staying and becoming a member.
Wonderful. City Bible Church.
Yes.
I know it well. And I know Vlad, and I know Ben, and I know Ty. Rebecca, I've got about 20 seconds. Tell us a little bit about where you go to church, and I know who your pastor is.
Yeah, I go to Folsom Bible Church with Tony Arns and Max Busick. I heard about it actually through City Bible Church, and I decided to help plant it because at the time it was just the core group meeting at the time. And I prayed a lot about it, and it was very hard. I had a lot of relationships at City Bible, still do, by God's grace, and it was like tearing my heart in two a little bit, but I decided to help plant that church, and I'm very grateful for my church body.
Amen, amen. And we're very grateful for the fellowship we enjoy with the pastors of those churches, and also the members. We're looking forward to our appreciation dinner coming up in September.
Yes.
Shout out for that, Angie, that we're organising, Rebecca, at City Bible again, and they're kindly granting that to us, and we rejoice in that. And so it's a good place for us to park the bus right now, and it's good for our listeners to have heard something of the spiritual character and the calibre of the young women who serve the Lord at the Union Gospel Mission. I'm very glad that you're part of our mission team at the Union Gospel Mission. I know that you are great girls. We have great times together. You're solid Christians. You're committed to the Lord. You're wholeheartedly committed to what we're seeking to do at the mission. And it's a real blessing. And for me, as one of the pastors in the city and as the new executive director, I rejoice that I have such quality young people working for me at the mission. You've been listening to Voices from the Streets. I'm Pastor Robert Briggs. If you want more information about the Union Gospel Mission in Sacramento, go to our website at ugmsac.com, where you'll find out more about us reaching the least, the last, and the lost of our city. Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to Voices from the Street, the radio ministry of the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission. If you're interested in learning more about the work of the mission and how to support them, please visit ugmsac.com or call 916-427-3268. Thank you so much for listening. Please join us again next week at the same time for Voices from the Street.